And our second reading is from Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. And then moving to Matthew 28, starting at verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, we ask that your Spirit will stir our hearts to hear your word deeply this morning. Amen. Well, as Andrew said, it's the third of our flipped, in our series flipped, the upside down kingdom of God, upside down as opposed to the world. And our strap line today is the world says, keep all you can, keep it. And Jesus says, give all you have. The world says, keep all you can. Jesus said, give all you can. So what have we got to give? Well, we know because we're reading this book and hearing these talks that we have the kingdom of heaven, which is the good news of Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And he's our cornerstone. He's our king. The lovely passage from Flipped, which I want to read you. If you've got the book, it's page 106, but just a short little passage. Let Jesus of the New Testament be the Jesus who sits enthroned at the center of our lives and at the center of our church. This Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, is the one who pulls down strongholds, rescues the perishing, and lifts the broken. He challenges us with his compassion and his inclusivity. He confronts us with his call to holiness, and he draws us in with his beauty. He leaves us speechless at his power and authority. Well, with a message like that, we've got to pass it on, haven't we? And this is exactly what Matthew's Gospel, one of the first readings said today. Jesus sends out his disciples as missionaries, and he says, as you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. As you go on through your journey of faith, a lifetime's journey, as you go, not immediate, even five sessions of Flipped is a kind of project, an evangelistic project, if you like, but it's not just a project, it's life, it's lifetime. So as you go, proclaim the good news. And it's urgent, it's important, it's very countercultural. We don't do it in our own strength, with our own decisions. We do it in obedience to the King, with his authority and power. And we live in an age where our actions surely are up to us. You know, we're the ones that make the choices. But no, we follow the King, because we're citizens of the kingdom. We don't follow our own agenda, our own inclinations. So Flipped tells us three ways that we can give all we have. First of all, we have to announce the kingdom. Oh, yikes. We have to announce the kingdom, proclaim the good news. Whoops. Secondly, we demonstrate the kingdom. We show the kingdom to others. And thirdly, we obey that great commission at the end of Matthew's Gospel, which we heard second today, about going out and making disciples of others. So these are the ways that we give all we have. And that is our command, if you like. And I want to say a couple of things about the first two, about giving all we have by announcing and by demonstrating the kingdom. And then I want to say a bit more about the Great Commission, massive challenge that. So as we go along, as we go through our life of faith on the kingdom journey, whatever we do, we mustn't hide the message under a bushel. If we fall in love with Jesus and we become committed to worshipping him and so on, and then hide under the settee all the time, probably not the idea. We have to go out. That's the instruction. And we go out using words. Well, words, sometimes we don't need words, but words are useful. And you might say, but I wasn't called to be an evangelist. I wasn't called to stand on street corners or go to Tierra del Fuego and do on missions and things. I can't do that. You might say that. Or you might understand that all you have to have is a story. And we have had brilliant stories recently. Do you remember the time, those of you who were in church, we had baptism in the big pool, total immersion, and we had some fabulous testimonies. And then again, when the bishop came to confirm wonderful testimonies of people whose lives have been changed by Jesus. They had a story to tell, and they told us just a bit, not huge, great lengths, but just a bit. We all have a story to tell. So we go and proclaim our stories and see if people's eyes light up and twinkle. And then we use actions. Well, the first action we need is prayer. In our world today, everybody has a degree of anxiety, trouble in their lives. Certainly loads of anxiety about the state of the world and so on. But also people who are sick, families who are in disarray, lots and lots of difficulties. And you know, everybody wants to tell you. If you meet somebody and you say, how are you? And people will tell you. Some people will say, I'm fine. But actually, people want to speak to you and unburden themselves. Now, you can just listen. Of course you can. But you could say, after a while of listening, can I pray for you? And then you, if you're very brave, you might pray on the spot. Use their names. Do it short. Just reflect back the problem and say, Jesus, come in your power to heal. Jesus, come and give peace to this person. And mention Jesus' name always. So pray. Or you might take that prayer home and promise to pray. But I tell you, nobody will say no. People love to be prayed for, even if they don't have a faith of their own. They will hang on your faith. Then you can do the deeds, of course, the miracles of generosity. Prayer, all the darting prayers across the world can push back the power of evil and can bring healing and miracle. But we can also bring healing and miracle by our deeds in service and our beingness. Signs of the kingdom are the beingness of a good kingdom person. And we show in our lives love and service and generosity and kindness and mercy. And I know all you out there online and the people who I'll be speaking to later in church are people who have those gifts and powers. They are lovely people who will work for the food bank, who will work for the night shelter, who will mow next door's grass and so on. So all we're giving all we have in word and deed. Now, what has this to do with discipleship? And how do we make disciples? How do we become disciples and how do we make disciples? And I think this is really a frightening word for some people. They believe that if you become a disciple, you're so keen that you're going to be sent off somewhere or be asked to do something very difficult or it's just, you know, you won't have any life of your own, whatever that might mean. And yet, this is our command. This is our command from our master. And Flipped suggests three ways that we can become disciples. He suggests we mimic Jesus. We kind of watch what Jesus is about and we copy that. Then secondly, we become his student. If you like, we sit at his feet, but that means metaphorically, we listen to his teaching, we wrap ourselves around with scripture, fall in love with scripture all over again. And of course, for Jesus, especially the Gospels and the Epistles, but the whole Bible, read it, mark it, learn it, and inwardly digest it. Take it seriously. Then thirdly, we become his apprentice. We walk with him. Imagine everywhere you go, Jesus is alongside you. And he shows you what the job is like of being the master of the kingdom and what your job is like being a person of the kingdom. You learn on the job to live the kingdom life. And Jesus said, you know, when his first two would-be followers wanted to, they didn't know how to approach him. And they said, oh, can we see where you are, where you stay? And he said, come and see. And in a way, that's the discipleship invitation. So first of all, when we fall in love with Jesus or we get baptized as a baby, either one, we are baptized, then maybe confirmed later as an adult, and we're born anew into God's kingdom. And then we make a big decision, not as a baby, but later on, a big decision whether we do anything about that or we just sit under the settee. We can be willing to do that mimicking, to be his student, to learn all we can about his teaching, and being his apprentice. We can do those things. We will want to do those things. And this is actually the central call to become his disciples, to become his followers. And then, of course, to go out in the world and make disciples of others. And this is the thing that a lot of people, faithful Christians, think, well, how am I going to do that? What is it about my giving everything I've got to other people? How can I do that? And the little expression that we had earlier, Jesus said to his would-be disciples, come and see, is perhaps one of the most powerful that we can have. Making disciples is persuading people that Jesus is lovely and we want to be his friends and we want to follow him, of course. But how do we do that? Come and see. Come and see this place online where people are obviously love to be here. They feel they belong. And that's such an important point in the world today, isn't it? People want to belong. They want to experience Jesus. Could say, come and see how we model the kingdom. Come and see how that happens in our life in service to others. Come and see the place where we worship in various styles of music, in prayer, and we worship our redeeming, rescuing God. Come and see the place where scripture is taught well and seriously in an accessible way. Come and see how this group of Christians proclaim the gospel. Come and see a place where we can meet with Jesus in prayer and at the other service, certainly in bread and wine. And in the faces, yeah, okay, in the words of others. Come and see all that. And that is the fellowship of Jesus, is the kingdom in action. And then people can fall in love and become disciples in their own right, maybe apprenticing you, maybe looking at you and thinking, I like that. I want to be like that. Maybe mimicking you, maybe learning from you as you share the upside down kingdom day by day as you go on your journey of faith. And let's pray into that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can be your agents out there in the world, bringing people to know you. It's an awesome task, and it frightens us a bit. So give us grace. Give us grace to be brilliant disciples ourselves, and also to share that, to share all we've got with others, to bring them to you. Amen.